Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Ten Commandment Model when we come back. You know, 3,000 years ago, before the science of meteorology was even thought of, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, that all of the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Well, every year, the continents and islands of the earth pour down into the oceans a stupendous volume of water. It's about 286,000 cubic miles of water flow into the oceans every year. Now, for century after century, millennium after millennium, this has been going on, and the sea has not increased its level by so much as an inch. Now, how is all of that possible? Well, we call it the cycle of evaporation and precipitation. The writer of Ecclesiastes said that the ocean maintains its level in spite of this gigantic annual influx of water because the rivers go back to the place from whence they came, and indeed they do. Every drop of rain that falls climbs back upon the Creator's elevator of evaporation to form themselves into clouds again and then ride back to the head of their toboggan slide to begin their journey all over. Now, in the modern science of meteorology, we understand this, and we understand the laws. Modern science has now learned what the writer of Ecclesiastes knew 3,000 years ago. And that's just one more of the many examples of science in the Bible. And it's one more of the many lessons in our Mosaic Law School that we conduct twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine, send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, last time we took a look here at the first 22 laws. Remember I said we here in the United States are in violation of 82 of 133 laws given us in the Scripture. Now, the good news is we're practicing 51, you know, like murder and theft. I pointed that out to you. So we're practicing some of these laws of the Scripture, but we're in violation of a bunch of laws. And I pointed out that I was over talking to the doc the other day, and wife pointed out that he was a little bummed out because his wife died. And he's bummed out at God. It's God's fault that she died. And a lot of times people will write letters here and they'll say, well, Roy died, and I just don't understand why God took Roy from me. My granddad died when he was 61, and he wouldn't have it any other way. Nice guy, and I loved him. I'm not sure everybody would have liked him, but I did. I thought he was a pretty good old boy. And when he died, I was 11 years old, I just cried my eyeballs out. Now, my granddad died before his time. He was 61. He should have lived to be 70. He had a contract with the Creator of the universe. I don't think he knew and understood that, but he had a contract, and the contract offered him 70 years, 25,550 days. Now, my granddad did not avail himself of the terms and conditions of the contract so that he could get paid that extra 9 years. In fact, 80 if you're strong. And my granddad was a pretty strong old boy. He was, you know, he was in good condition till his heart gave out. He had a heart attack. Now, my granddad smoked Roy Tan cigars, chewed day's work tobacco, drank to excess, ate sugar, white flour, and fat. All of the things that could practically guarantee you a heart attack. He demo. And sure enough, he had a heart attack and he died. And it wasn't God's fault. You see, the Creator of the universe told my granddad and me and my dad and you and everybody else, don't eat fat. Told us that. Now, you can sit there and say, well, where in the Bible does it say don't eat white flour? There's a number of statutes in the Bible that tell you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you want to take real good care of it. Now, boys and girls, when you adulterate your food, there's a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. And everybody says, well, that has to do with sex. Well, the word adultery has more than one meaning. Did you know that? Now, sometimes when we want to have a distinction in meanings, we spell the word a little differently, like the word two, two, and two. You know, we have the number two, T-W-O. And then we have the word T-O-O, means also. And then we have the word to, which says, well, I'm going to someplace. It indicates that I've got a direction that I'm heading in, or a destination that I'm going to. Now, adultery has to do with this thing of adulterating your food. Adulterating your food. So I go into the restaurant, and I'm going to eat string beans. And I find that the string beans have been adulterated with bacon. So I have to ask the waitress, ma'am, do you put bacon in your string beans? Oh, yes, of course. We add that as a flavoring. Well, okay, thank you very much. I guess I'll eat cream corn. Then I find out that the cream corn is GMO, genetically modified. In fact, I was talking to a seed cleaner the other day, a fellow that deals with corn and wheat and seeds and so on. And I said, well, my wife did. She said, can you get us some corn? We'd like to get some corn, non-GMO corn. And he said, oh, lady, I don't know where you could get that. This guy lives in Indiana. He's out here in the Corn Belt. He said, you know, there are people that raise open-pollinated corn, but you see, corn is pollinated by the wind, and the GMO corn is so pervasive all over out here that corn is also polluted. Adulterated is what it is. Adulterated. Now, many times people say, oh, I just might as well just give up. I guess there's just nothing we can do. Oh, no. No, life is a struggle, you know. Life is a struggle, and it takes time, effort, and energy. You know, the Ten Commandments, it's not impossible to practice the Ten Commandments. It just takes a little more work. It takes a little more effort than floating downstream like a dead fish on top of the water. You got to be a live fish swimming against the current. So I thought I would continue on here with number 23. Now remember, I told you about the doctor. The doctor's wife died, and the doctor is blaming God. He's really upset that God would take his wife or kill his wife or let his wife die. God didn't kill her. He didn't have anything to do with it one way or the other. He just kept hands off. He didn't do anything to help her. He didn't heal her of her disease. But then, I don't know, did she follow the directions in the scripture to be healed? I don't know. He didn't talk about that. But I went through the first 22. Remember yesterday when we closed here, we were talking about mixed fabric clothes. So I went down the list, the first 22, so I could figure out, well, which of these 22 laws did the doctor's wife violate, the doctor and his wife? Which ones? Well, let's try the first one, integration. I don't know if they were integrated or not. I'll presume that they were in compliance with that law. But I'll bet you the doc practices Christmas. I'll bet you the doc eats pork, practices Easter. He probably doesn't practice interracial marriage, although I don't know what race his wife was. Then there's unjust weights and balances. Oh, I know the doc's got credit cards. Then there's witchcraft. Oh, I'll just bet you that the doc practices some forms of witchcraft, of which there's 17 forms of witchcraft. He probably doesn't play with Ouija boards, but I'll bet you that he practices witchcraft in some other form. Sodomy, he probably doesn't do. Abortion, probably not. Adultery, probably not. Usury. Oh, I'll bet you the doctor with his credit cards is practicing usury. Does the doc vote? I don't know that he does or doesn't, but if he's normal, he probably votes. Registered voter. Does he eat blood? Not likely. Does he eat fat? Not likely. He's a pretty health-conscious guy. Does he practice the census? Oh, I'll bet you that when the census taker comes by and presses him, I'll bet you he'll give her the information, or at least some of it. Public school? Yep, he went to public school. How about wills, probate, and inheritance? I'll bet you that he practices it, but I don't know that. Real estate by license? He's got a mortgage on his house, and he bought it through a real estate broker. Yeah, he broke that law. Birthdays? I'll bet you he was practicing birthdays. How about unclean meats? Yeah, I'll bet the doc eats a little pork and maybe a little shrimp, crab, once in a while. And mixed fabric clothes? I'll bet you the doc wears clothes that have mixed fabrics on. So I went down the first 22 here, and here's what I figured. I figured that the doc, out of 22 laws, violates 13 of those 22 laws and practices 9. Now, here's what his problem is, and here's what his wife's problem was. Let's suppose that you've got a daddy, and your daddy gives you 22 instructions. You follow 13 of those instructions, but you violate 9. Now, dad comes home, and he says, all right now, son or daughter, did you practice my 22 laws? Did you do the 22 things that I put on the list for you? And you say, well, I did 13, but you can stick the other 9 where there's no daylight because I ain't done. Now, do you think you're going to get a blessing or a blot? Now, at that point, I guess I could rest my case. You see, here in America, and I suspect that you people around the world, you're in violation of a number of these laws, and these are the crimes that God is complaining about. In fact, throughout the Bible, he says, you know, you won't follow my instructions. You want to eat pig and fat, but you want to have good health. Boys and girls, it's kind of like having goats. You can have goats, or you can have shrubs and vegetation. But you cannot have goats and vegetation. You can have one or the other. I mean, you can just test it. Just go bring some goats onto your place, and we'll see how much vegetation you got left. I mean, them goats will destroy anything that's living. In fact, the goats are what the old-timers used to use to clear land. They put goats out there on the land, and they destroy the vegetation. Then they could go and farm it. Goats are extremely destructive to that end. Now, when we're talking about these laws, we have 133 subject matters of law here in the Scripture, Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandment model. And then Jesus made this observation. He made it in Matthew 4:4. You can read this, you Christians out there, because it's in the New Testament. It's okay. It's okay. You got permission. Matthew 4, verse 4 says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he made that statement, not a word of the New Testament had been written yet. Not a word. So, obviously, in Matthew 4:4, the only scripture that was available, the words of God that were in writing, were the 39 books of the Old Testament. I've never heard a preacher tell me that before. I figured it out. I'm just a dumb plumber, but I figured it out right away. I said, well, obviously, he was referring then to the Old Testament. So when I hear some preacher tell me that the Old Testament's been abolished and done away with, I have to make a choice. It's either I believe Jesus or I believe the preacher. And Jesus said preachers in mass are all liars, false prophets, charlatans, wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus never had one good word for a preacher. Not one. He never had a good word for the Pope or a priest or a preacher. He never had a good word for a lawyer or a banker either. He had a couple of good words for sinners and whores, but he never had a good word for a preacher, a lawyer, or a banker. And if you can find one in the Bible, send it to me. I'd like to frame it, put it up on the wall. Jesus had a good word for a lawyer. Jesus had a good word for a preacher. Direct me to it, would you? I couldn't find it. So now, we want to follow our preachers. You know, Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham and who's that? Who, Oral Roberts and Baker. Who's this Baker guy? Remember Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. Frauds and charlatans we want to follow. But Jesus, no way in hell are we going to follow Jesus. That ain't going to happen, not here in America. And so now we've been instructed, don't eat pork, don't practice Christmas, don't practice integration, don't practice Easter, don't practice interracial marriage, don't use unjust weights, don't practice witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, and usury, don't vote, don't eat blood and fat, don't give the census lady the time of day, don't send your kids to public schools, don't have a will, don't pay the inheritance tax, don't buy and sell property by license, and don't celebrate your birthdays, don't eat unclean meats, and don't wear clothes that are mixed fabrics. Those are the first 22. And this doctor over here, near as I can reckon, violates 13 of those 22, probably practices 9. And then one wonders why it is that Jesus didn't save his wife. Well, hell, what did you ever do for Jesus, Doc? When did you ever get out of bed and say, what can I do to practice the Ten Commandments today? So typically, we don't practice these laws. Typically. Now, as a nation, we have been in violation of 82 of these laws for a long time. And these are laws that are promoted by government. For instance, our president lights the national Christmas tree on the White House lawn every year. Our governments license companies to sell pork in your supermarket. And the government promotes interracial marriage. And the government licenses and promotes credit cards and the Federal Reserve Bank and unjust weights and balances. In fact, even turns around and takes $700 billion of your money and mine and gives it to the banks, for crying out loud, so that they can continue their nefarious crimes. I mean, this is public policy. If you ever ask, you know, if you were to ask the average Joe Sixpack American what he thinks about saving the banks and credit cards, and you know, we all need to do that. We all got to put our shoulder to the wheel, and we all got to buckle down, and we got to save our banks. When did anybody ever say, let's go back to gold and silver, just weights and balances, which is what God told us to do? No. We're not gonna get off these unjust weights and balances and go back to gold and silver. But in 1787 we did. See, in 1787, our founding fathers, they took a look at the Ten Commandment model, and they took a look at the old model. They didn't call it communism back in 1787. It was the Roman civil law. They took a look at that, and they said, you know, we'd be better off if we went back to just weights and balances. So they wrote into our Constitution these 17 words. It says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. We still have that in our Constitution, but we've bypassed it with the Federal Reserve Act. We just ignored it. Our Supreme Court, our Congress, our president violates that gold and silver clause in our Constitution. Now, for some reason, I guess God himself must have inspired our Treasury, our Congress, and so on, to write into Title 31, Section 5101 through 5112, the gold clause. Because we have our gold coins, but Americans don't use them. No, we prefer credit cards and Federal Reserve notes. to gold and silver. We have it available. Our gold and silver coins available to us, but we don't use it. Now, you know, we're all sitting here, and I'm sure some of you people are probably praying to Jesus, oh, save my house, Jesus, please save my car, save my job. No. Well, let me ask you this. Well, what have you done for Jesus lately? In fact, Jesus had an observation he made one time. We've got to read this to you. It's over here in Luke 6, verse 46, I believe it is. 6:46, I believe it is. Yeah, here it is. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you people go to church every Sunday and call me Lord, Lord, and pray, oh, Jesus? People get emotional. They can't just pray to Jesus. They got to pray, oh, Jesus. You know, they get kind of syrupy. And they don't do a damn thing he tells them. Now, I'm kind of guilty, too. You know, I don't sit here and pretend to be the greatest pillar of virtue here, you know, but at least I'm smart enough to figure out. I've been giving the guy the finger for years. Why should he do anything for me? In fact, he made that observation also. Yeah, he told us that. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let me flip over there and read that to you. Okay, you're going to love this. 1 Samuel chapter 8. See if I can find it here. Just you got to be patient with me because I haven't been to seminary like these preachers have. And I don't read none too good either. And I'm getting kind of old. I don't wear glasses yet, but sometimes I got to squint a little bit, especially when you get this fine print. And I've got this pair of glasses over here, you know, 10-power glasses. That's what I look at my coins with. Here it is. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 8. Listen to this. He said in verse 18, and you will cry out to me in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. You know, Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, your king that you voted in, remember, that you chose. And the Eternal will not hear you in that day. Did you get that? He told us plainly, clear back here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you know, when we got off on this tear, that we wanted a king. And he said, boy, that's not the brightest thing you came up with here today, Tom. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. And we said, nevertheless, we will have a king to rule over us. We told God to take it and stuff it where there's no daylight. And we didn't do it just once. We've been doing that for about the last, 2,500 years. And in the last, you know, since Roosevelt back in 33, we've been giving this God the finger with a vengeance. And, you know, this guy, you know, this is not the guy that we ought to be giving the finger to. I'm telling you, this God in the Bible here, and I'm not talking about sweet Jesus away in the manger, you know, that George Bush, sweet and gentle Jesus. No. I think you got the wrong guy there. That's the other Jesus. The Jesus here in the Bible, you know, this guy goes postal on us every once in a while. He's done it in the past, and he says he's going to do it again. So, you know, we've all been warned. You know, up front. It's called the Great Tribulation. He said, you know, you guys give me the finger, you know, for the last time, and watch what I'm going to do to you. So last week I told you, I said, now take a look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, and just read that into 2009 down in Australia and New Zealand. You know, you Aussies down there, wake up now, smell the coffee. And you should be looking north, because there's where trouble is brewing, right up there in China, not too far north of you. Now, the only thing that keeps you 20 million Australians out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean free from the Chinese is the American nuclear umbrella. You people there in Western Europe, you know, you Frenchmen, you know, they have nothing but bad words for America. The only thing that keeps the Russians over there on the other side of your border is the American nuclear umbrella. If you Frenchmen think you got enough nukes over there to keep the Russians at bay, you ain't been paying attention to reality for very long. Now, the United States of America is on the verge of collapse, like the old Roman Empire, you know. There was a guy by the name of Gibbons wrote a book one time called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and he cited five causes for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. We Americans are practicing all five right to the hilt. I mean, if there's anything we can do to destroy our civilization, by God, we're in there with both hands and both feet on a tear. So, okay, now, guys, there's an end that comes to all of this. And it has to do with this thing called the Ten Commandment model. Now, when we practice this Ten Commandment model of government, the Ten Commandment model of economics, the Ten Commandment model of society, that has great dividends and makes us a lot of money, and we're all healthy, happy, wealthy, and wise. But then, every so often, after we've had our fill of all the good things in life, like all the money that we can use and all of the good times, then we have to get off on this Babylonian mystery religion. And throughout history, we've had various names. We call it socialism, fascism, communism, the Babylonian mystery religion, the Roman civil law. You know, we've got these names that we hang on, and we have to go indulge ourselves. And every single time, without fail, every time we do that, when we debase our money like the Romans did, like every civilization that's gone before us, it destroys the civilization and sends us back into national captivity and slavery. Everything you don't want, can't use, shouldn't have, and want to avoid, That's what you get with a 10-plank model. So I thought, well, let's take a look now at some of the laws that we're violating, because, you know, a lot of times people say, well, but I go to church every Sunday. What do you mean I'm violating some laws? Let's try number 23, unisex clothes. Do you remember that story? Unisex clothes, not too long, probably 20 years ago. There was a tear about late 70s, early 80s, on this unisex clothes. That's clothes that boys and girls could wear. Well, it violates Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, this God said, you boys don't wear girls' clothes. And he said, girls, don't wear boys' clothes. Read it for yourself. I didn't write that. I just wanted to point it out to you. And so sure enough, we started listening to our designers, and our clothes designers started giving us unisex clothes. It came up with a name. It's called unisex. Now, bestiality, every once in a while I'm watching Jay Leno, and he'll make a joke out of bestiality. I don't know what's funny about having sex with dogs and horses and cows, but evidently it must be fun, must be good, because that's what we're practicing here. Well, it's prohibited in Exodus 22, verse 19. The creator of the universe said, look, aren't there any girls around here for you to go have sex with, but you got to go have sex with that donkey? Now, bestiality is a prohibited activity here, but it's sanctioned by the United States government. You know what consenting males and animals do? It's their business. New Year's. We just had a big New Year's celebration here. Did you know in Isaiah 1, verses 13 and 14, God tells you in plain language what he thinks of New Year's? Idolatry, idol worship. Deuteronomy 5, verse 7 prohibits that. Your government promotes idolatry. In fact, we raise idols all over America. We have totem poles in our public parks. We have the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. And we have the Washington Monument on the Mall. And boys and girls, that's idolatry, capital felony. Bad news. Don't do that. No, we're not going to listen to that. We're going to have our monuments. We're going to have our idols. Sabbath breaking. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Keep my Sabbath, he tells you. Sabbaths, plural. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to practice Sunday, the day of the sun. We're going to worship the sun. And when the sun comes up on Easter, Sunday morning, we're going to go out and worship the sun. And we're not going to practice the Sabbath. And we're going to practice Christmas, Easter, New Year's. And we're not going to practice the Passover. And we're not going to practice the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, okay, kids. Don't let me get in the way now of your happiness and success. But you need to understand that this God over here that says, you know, you're going to cry out to me on that day when you got a monetary crisis. You're going to cry out to me on that day when you got a Hurricane Katrina coming down on you. And he says, I won't hear you. And you're going to cry out to me when you're sick with the flu and you're on the verge of death, and I will not hear you. Hey, you know, what have you done for Jesus lately? Tuck that one away in your heart. Hey, hang on a second here. I'll give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, so that we can keep up here with the Federal Communications Commission and all of these Federal Communications Commissions around the world. See if we can keep them all happy here by reminding everybody that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by pre-arrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Now again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us directly at 417-273-4967. All right, with that duty out of the way, we're talking about the 82 laws that are promoted, violation of 82 laws that are promoted by our government. That's the United States government. Now, I don't know about you people in Australia and Canada or in Japan or Brazil or the Seychelles Islands. I don't know what your government's promoting, but here in the United States, our government promotes the violation of these 82 laws. 82 out of 133 laws in the Bible, and our government is busily telling us that we ought to eat fat. It's good for you. We ought to participate in the census in violation of 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25. That we ought to practice birthdays in violation of Deuteronomy 12:32. We should eat unclean meats in violation of Leviticus 11. So I said, well, that sounds like a pretty good story. I think I ought to report on that, and so I did. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And this God over here, you know, he's got penalties. Now, he's also got benefits. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are 33 articulable benefits here in the Scripture. If you do this, or just write this down. It's in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. First 13, 14 verses in those two chapters give you the benefits. If you'll practice this Ten Commandment model, here's what you're going to get for it. Then he completes the thought by saying, now, if you don't practice the Ten Commandment model, and here's what I'm going to do to you. Here's what you're going to get. Now, there's a natural penalty that comes about. Oftentimes, we simply become the proximate cause of our own injury. For instance, if you eat fat, you'll become obese and have heart trouble, diabetes, and stroke. Not necessarily in that order, not necessarily all of the above, but one or more. And that's because your body doesn't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest the fat. So it builds up in your arteries. It's called atherosclerosis. You got a name for it. And then ultimately it kills you, like my granddaddy. Nice guy. God, I loved him. But my old granddaddy, he just wouldn't have it any other way. And he just had to have his fat. He had to have his Italian dry salami. And ultimately it killed him. Now, it killed him at a you know, not a youthful age, but at a younger age. He was 61. Now, here in the Scripture, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you were guaranteed by law, by contract. The Creator himself made a contract at Mount Sinai. It says everybody that practices this Ten Commandment model receives 25,550 days of life. Guaranteed. When you go into a cemetery and you're looking at the grave markers and you're making some mental notes and you say, oh my God, that guy was born in 1955 and he died in 1986. He was not 70 years old. He did not collect his 25,550 days. You can ask yourself this question. Who was in breach of contract? The guy that's in the hole in the ground or God? And the answer is, the guy that's in the hole in the ground did not practice the Ten Commandment model, because if he did, he would have lived to be 70 years old. Now, here's another little thought. You don't have to practice all 133 laws to get your 25,550 days, but you have to practice something more than 51 of them. Something more than 51. I don't know what the magic number is, but now we're down below half. And our founding fathers in 1787, you know, they didn't practice all 133 of these laws, not by any stretch of the imagination. But in 1787 through 1933, we were practicing more than half, and we were not actively practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto until Franklin Roosevelt took office in 1933. That's when we really got after communism with a vengeance. I mean, we picked right up on that stuff. Now, up until then, we were kind of dabbling in it. I mean, you know, we weren't totally clean, but we weren't as dirty as a pig wallowing in a pigsty now, but we weren't totally clean. But now, you know, today, we are pretty damn dirty. My suggestion is let's go back to what worked. Now, here's the good news. The good news to all of this is you don't have to vote this in. We don't have to have Barack Obama and the Democratic majority passing laws out here to practice the Ten Commandment model. See, you can do that all by yourself. Just you and your family, all by yourselves. You don't have to have anybody else out there, you know, doing it with you. And you can get all the benefits that come from it, and everybody else gets the curses. See, I'm one of the few guys in the country that I'm not complaining about Barack Obama, the Democratic majority, the socialism that's being ushered upon us, the $700 billion bailout for the bankers. It's bad policy. I don't think it's wise. I don't think that's good for us, and we shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, hell, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, boys and girls. But I'm going to sit this one out. See, I'm not going to participate in these crimes with you. I'm going to sit off here to the side and say, hey, but let me watch you do it, Bob. Hey, Sally, you go on out there and give them bankers all your money and see how much prosperity you get from that. You Americans seem to think that what we need is more debt, more bailouts. Less gold, less silver, more paper money, more debt, more bailouts, more interest, more usury. We need more of it. Well, hell, isn't that what caused you your problem to start with? Debt, unjust weights and balances, paper money. Okay. So it would look like to me that if you got a dose of clap down at Flo's Whorehouse, that probably going back to Flo's Whorehouse isn't the place to find the cure. That's my opinion. So like I said, I'm going to watch you go into Flo's and get cured of clap down at the Whorehouse. Show me how that's done, would you? Send me an email. So New Year's, idolatry, Sabbath breaking. Let's try prostitution, number 28. Prostitution. It's an American custom. At the political conventions, all the whores descend on the political conventions. Excuse me. But in Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18, the creator of the universe said they don't do that. He said he didn't want any sodomites of the sons of Israel, and he didn't want any whores of the daughters of Israel. And, you know, we're out here practicing whoredom. Prostitution is legalized in most places. Oh, I know. You got statutes that say thou shalt not practice prostitution, but you don't punish it. Here's what happens. Prostitution is a revenue source for big city governments. In New York, they have undercover cops. They're actually tax collectors. The undercover cop goes out, and he's just, you know, just a John walking down the street. So along comes a prostitute and says, hey, John, you want to do a trick? And he says, okay. And so they go up to the hotel room, and they're all ready to go. And so he hands her the money, and she takes it. And then he says, okay, sweetheart, you're under arrest for prostitution. See, it's a sting is what it is. So he arrests her, and he hauls her off, and they book her in, and they take her up in front of the night court. And then she pleads guilty, and they fine her $500, and she reaches down her breasts, and she pulls out $500 and pays the fine. And then she goes back out on Times Square looking for another John. See, we've got licensed businesses, which is a criminal activity, and then we have unlicensed businesses. See, here's the way the creator of the universe proposes to deal with prostitution. So for all of you working girls out there, pay attention here. The creator out here, he said, I don't want any prostitution. It's a capital felony. So when you catch this whore, you take her out and stone her to death. So when sweet Jesus comes back, girls, you're going to have to find another line of work, or it's going to hurt real bad. So he's going to take you out and tie you up to a telephone pole, bring in a 10-yard dump truck, line up 500 people, and they're all going to start throwing rocks at you until they kill you. It's called stoning. And that's his proposal for prostitution. But now there's a bright side to this, girls. The John that wanted to hire you, he gets stoned right along with you. Both of you get stoned together. Isn't that special? All right. Now, what that would do here to American politics is beyond description. I don't know how many politicians would be stoned to death along with the girls, but my guess would be about half. In fact, I was talking to Helen Chenoweth one day, and she said that half of the Congress are sodomites or lesbians. Half. That doesn't count the half that's going out to the whores. I'm telling you, boys and girls, that if we ever adopted the Ten Commandment model in the United States, it would just decimate the halls of Congress. Hell, we would have lost President Bill Clinton. We'd have taken our president out and stoned him to death along with Monica. And of course, you know, he needed to be stoned about 15 other times, I guess. But I'm just pointing it out. Don't get mad at me. Now write me a letter and say why you're insensitive. Hell, I'm just a reporter. Blasphemy now is number 29. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Prohibits blasphemy. That's where you give God the finger. Mentioning God in prayer or in public life. Listen, Deuteronomy 8, verse 19 requires that you mention God. He says, don't forget me. He wants us to take the Ten Commandments and post them on our doorposts. Did you know that? There's a law in the Bible that requires you to put God on your doorposts, your gates. In fact, there's a company out here that makes the Ten Commandments so that you can put them on your doorposts and your gates. I don't have their name and number right in front of me. I'm going to put an asterisk right there. And then in the next program, I'm going to give you that guy's name and address. And out here on my front gate, I've got the Ten Commandments posted. I'm the only guy in Ozark County with the Ten Commandments on his front gate. And I do that because there's a law here in the Bible that tells you to do that. But in America, if you were to pray at a football game in Texas before the game starts, my God, you'll get sued. You'll get hauled into court. You'll get punished. It's against the law to do that here. So I'll throw that out. And then you wonder why sweet Jesus is getting uptight, huh? Then you got hybrid seed. This is Leviticus 19:19. Hell, we've gone beyond hybrids. We got genetic modification now. We're gonna cut the world a new fat hog in the back. Now, Jesus told you how that was going to come out. He said, if I don't intervene in this, when it's all said and done, you people are all going to kill yourself. You're going to have genetic modification up to yin-yang until you finally destroy all life from off the planet. Those are his words, not mine. Halloween. God, we love that one, don't we? Halloween violates Isaiah 1, verses 13 and 14. Violates a bunch of other statutes, too, but Halloween. That's where we go out and worship demons. We have a holiday here in the United States, a holy day. That's what a holiday is. See, God calls them holy days, H-O-L-Y-D-A-Y-S. So we change the spelling to H-O-L-I-D-A-Y-S. Instead of two words, holy days, we call it holidays or holy days. Yeah, and then we have our own. 4th of July is a good one, and Labor Day is another one. Labor Day, May Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. But God forbid that we should practice the Day of Atonement, nor the Feast of Trumpets, nor the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day of the Passover. No, we're not going to do that. So we have a day set aside just for demons and Satan, and we call it Halloween. And that's also prohibited activity. False prophets. God, we have false prophets everywhere. And every Sunday, we go to church to listen to our pulpit parrots as they preach deceits and preach false prophecies to us. We love them. And we send them some of the big ones, $100 million a year, the big televangelists. You know, it's starting to get into some big money there. That's a violation of Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. Then we got the income tax. God, we love that income tax, we Americans. Oh, we bitch about it a lot and we complain. But, you know, when it comes time to voting it out in 1992, 96, and 2008, we had presidential candidates step up and say, we need to abolish the income tax. Those three presidential candidates didn't even get the nomination. They didn't even get heard. That's how fast we'd bury those jokers. Anyway, go to Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, and God will tell you what he thinks about your income tax. Sewage treatment and sanitation, that's in Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. God tells you, you know what to do with your little doo-doos and poopies that come out of your body. He told you to go bury them in a hole in the ground. But no, we don't do that. We flush it down the Mississippi River so that the people in New Orleans can drink it. I don't know why we want to do that, but we do. Yeah, we take all of our poops and we flush them down the toilet and we drain it down the creeks and rivers and off into our rivers and waterways. And oh, I know we purify it. I don't deny that. And then we wonder why it is that we've got so much disease in the country. Oh, come on. Tattoos, that's a good one. Everybody likes to have a tattoo marked on them from time to time, don't they? That violates Leviticus 19, verse 28. Then there's wage theft. The law requires that you pay the laborer at the end of every day. Did you know that? That when you hire a laborer, you got to pay him at the end of every day. Before the sun goes down, you have to pay him. We don't do that. We pay the guy once a week, once a month. We take his vacation pay and we use it for the whole year. Don't give this guy a nickel's worth of interest either. That's called wage theft. Violates Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 through 16. And then we outlawed polygamy here in the United States. You can't have two wives. It's okay to practice bestiality, adultery, sodomy. You can do that. God help you if you have two wives. Anyway, I just thought I'd point out that polygamy was created by this God. This God, by the way, was a polygamist. He had two wives at the same time. Boy, if there's something us religious guys ain't going to put up with, it's some clown with two wives, 1 Samuel 30, verse 18. Tell you that story. Crossbreeding animals, that's against the law. Against the law, crossbreeding animals. Leviticus 19:19. Draft or military conscription. Did you know that the draft is illegal? God doesn't have any draft, and he doesn't like this idea of conscripting people in the military. Now, in America today, we're not drafting anybody, but you wait. We got a big war coming up. There's going to be a new military draft. And then we're going to violate Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. Now, we've violated it in the past. We have military conscription. You have to register for the draft. See? So, you know, when your government tells you that they want you to register for the draft, that means that they want to know what your name and address is so that when the time is right that they can come out here and violate that law again. Mortgage credit. Oh, two houses out of every three in the United States has got a mortgage on it. That violates Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1 through 3, mortgage credit. How many of you people have mortgages that you're servicing? All right, that's a crime. It isn't a capital felony. I mean, you don't get stoned to death like a whore, you know, but it's a violation of the law, and there's a penalty for it. It's economic. It's an economic penalty. Poverty. Poverty. And that's the penalty. Now, dishonor of your parents by public schools. The public schools violate Exodus 20, verse 12 by encouraging disrespect and dishonoring of parents. In fact, your public school teacher will tell your child in public school to keep a close eye on you and to report your activities to the school nurse or the school teacher so that they can report it to social lady. That's deviant behavior going on in the home reported by your child to the teacher in public school. Then the Ten Commandments. They've been banned from the public schools, banned from our public institutions. Well, in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 15, has a little story to tell you about the Ten Commandments. God tells you to post these Ten Commandments on your doorposts and on your gates. You're to teach them to your children and your grandchildren, and you're to study them when you come in, when you go out. Why, people today, why I couldn't use the word on the air, but that's what people do on the Ten Commandments. It starts with an S. The Bible has been banned. The Bible is banned from public school. In fact, I've heard rumors, I don't know if this is true everywhere, but I've heard rumors, that the Bible is probably going to be banned because it teaches hate crimes. That's because God is politically incorrect. And God is a hate monger because he hates sin. And he hates sinners. Well, I know your preacher said, God loves sinners. Well, if God loves sinners so much, how come he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And how come he invented AIDS, herpes, and VD? Huh? Hey, listen, if you call that love, boys and girls, you need to get as far away from that as you can get. But I'll tell you what love is. It's in 1 John 5, verse 3. It said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are grievous. If you want to know what love is practicing the Ten Commandment model. When you keep your hands off of your neighbor's wife, you're practicing love. When you don't steal your neighbor's lawnmower, you're practicing love. Now, these bankers out here charging 15% interest hate you. If you think you got this gold card because the banker loves you, you got your head up the wrong ass there, the wrong end, Bob. The banker hates you. I can't understand why you people want to give the banker $700 billion when they charge you interest, which is a crime, and that crime is punishable by death. All right, time to wake up and smell the coffee would be my guess. All right, I'm going to put my asterisk right over here again. Now we get down here to the Bible being banned. That's number 40. So I'm going to put number 40 right here in the margin. We'll take it up right there next time. That's half of them. Yeah, I got to remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.